Midterm political ads are here, but a little less targeted this season. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. They say all politics is local, and targeted advertising makes it hyper-local. Campaigns have increasingly used troves of personal online data about voters to narrowly tailor political messages, sometimes in malicious ways, like providing false information about how to vote based on neighborhood, race, or ethnicity. But this kind of micro-targeting is getting trickier. Twitter and TikTok have banned political ads completely, and Facebook has added new limits on how and when political ads appear. Samantha Lai is a research analyst at the Center for Technology Innovation at the Brookings Institution. She says the way social media platforms allow campaigns to micro-target users has evolved.
A lot of social media companies have changed what people are allowed to target on. So Facebook has limited the types of micro-targeting allowed. So, for example, stopping advertisers from targeting people based on sensitive topics such as health, race and ethnicity, political affiliation, religion, and sexual orientation. Are there other ways to still kind of get past these and still target people, albeit in a less accurate format? Yes, but we also see companies kind of working to try to limit the detriments that we have seen in the past.
So would you say that micro-targeting this election is maybe a little bit less targeted than in 2020?
So that's the hope. However, there's a lot of data mining going on, and this isn't just limited to social media companies. This is done by websites, applications, third-party cookies. There's this thing called inferences that can be made. So even if you can't target someone specifically based on their race and ethnicity, if you can target people based on their zip code, that's still a stand-in for targeting by race and ethnicity.
What about outside social media? Are there other ways to target people?
One of such technologies include geofencing. So for example, in 2020, this technology was used at a church by Catholic Vote, a private company, to target pro-Trump messaging towards churchgoers by collecting people's religious affiliation without their notification or consent. So it can still be collected in means beyond social media from third-party actors.
So as an expert who's watching this space, what are you going to be watching for in the future?
I predict that a lot of these ongoing problems are only going to continue existing unless governments and tech platforms and nonprofits work actively towards kind of seeing what the benefits and trade-offs are and finding ways to, you know, at least protect the rights of voters. On the flip side, at the end of the day, advertising in general is the best way that a lot of these companies are able to profit from what they do. So there are obviously differing incentives at play here in terms of how many restrictions they're going to place on these services.
Samantha Lai is a research analyst at the Brookings Institution. And now for some related links. Samantha Lai recently wrote about data misuse and disinformation in the 2022 election for Brookings. We'll link to that article at marketplacetech.org. She dives deeper into possible policy changes that could help, like better data privacy protection laws or extending the prohibition on voter intimidation at the polls into the online realm. Because though it's getting harder to micro-target by certain sensitive characteristics, CNN reports that there are plenty of proxies, like what kinds of products people shop for, what music they listen to, or what shows they watch, all data that is readily available online. For instance, Florida Republican Marco Rubio's campaign was reportedly going after lovers of Chick-fil-A and Ram trucks, while Pennsylvania Democrat John Fetterman is targeting fans of Dave Matthews Band and Tesla. It seems like in our current climate, so many of the consumer choices we make are political in some way. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.